After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. It is Tuesday morning, 10:01 a.m., right on time. Rock band time. Show starts when it starts. Thanks for being here. If you're live on YouTube, hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to the podcast, that's great. We are refiring up the mailbag. So on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, 5 stars. And leave a question in the mailbag. You could actually start the question, hey, guy. Leave a question in your review, and that's how you get in the mailbag. For those of you listening, you cannot see one of the many logos. People are DMing me logos. You can get at me on Insta. I prefer it on Instagram. Follow there. The latest logo I got sent, I don't know the name of the person, but thank you. The U is the middle of a football with hand-drawn stitches across it. Not bad work. All right. As we sit here this morning, the last known move by the 49ers was signing Yetur Gross-Matos from the Panthers. Now, like many of you, I've been watching Yetur Gross-Matos very closely. Actually, when I went to PFF yesterday to check out the grades, and these are not the be-all, end-all. In fact, if you want to use PFF grades for Yetur Gross-Matos, you better not use him for Leonard Floyd. So we're going to pick and choose here. Interesting just to see where his overall grade graded out with George Karloftis near Josh Sweat, just in front of Charles Omenihu. If that means anything to you. Luke Combs, country music star, fast car, pissed at Panthers. What are we doing? No first round pick for McCaffrey. A few years back, still holding that one. And now none for Burns. Are we just firebombing the whole team here or what? I don't usually comment on these types of things, but it's becoming slow torture at this point. After the Niners signed Yetur Gross-Matos, Luke Combs couldn't even bring himself to follow up tweet. He was done. He had peaked at Burns and was in a free fall at Gross-Matos. All right. Solid signing. But this can't be it. This can't be it. By the way, if you are interested in the PFF grades, Chase Young, 34th. And Leonard Floyd, 86th. For those of you watching on YouTube, you know that Eric Armstead is in the thumbnail of the video. So I better pay that one off. Still feels like he might be back. As you know, if you've been watching or listening the last couple days, I wouldn't say that's been my prediction, but my feeling has been he's not released till he's released. He's got to go out there and find a market, which is not easy, as good of a player as he's been. He's also been hurt, had a great finish to the season, but then needed surgery. Played through a lot, has proven to be not just a meaningful member of the team, a meaningful member of the locker room, and I'm partial to Eric Armstead as a fellow podcaster. Right now, the Niners have a major hole on their defensive line, or major holes on their defensive line. I thought Javon Kinlaw might be back. They've lost Javon Kinlaw. They've lost Cleveland Furl. Still unsigned and available to everybody in the world. Randy Gregory, Kevin Givens, Sebastian Joseph Day, and Chase Young. So they're down two D linemen. They've added two D linemen, Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. And they're potentially down four more D linemen. So they're potentially down six overall and four net D linemen, depending on what happens with those other guys. Is Leonard Floyd a nice signing? Yes, I like the signing. I did a video about it. Today's only Tuesday. Did a video about it Monday. I liked it. Yetur Gross-Matos. Interesting to see what Matt Barrows, I saw Lombardi pointed out that Matt Barrows, back before the Yetur Gross-Matos draft, evaluated him and gave him an Eric Armstead comp. He, to me, looks more like a Niners-type guy than Leonard Floyd, just physically. He looks like Armstead. Now, he is not as good as Eric Armstead, but it's a good signing. I actually like that signing, too. I like both signings in the context of more, not in the context of only this. And so the door is still very open. Here we are Tuesday morning. The door is still very open, I think, for Eric Armstead to return. I would imagine Eric Armstead's agents checking in on other teams, but also still in communication with the 49ers. At the end of the day, I got to go back to what Adam Schefter, the way Adam Schefter reported it yesterday or Sunday night, whichever it was, it's all blurring together at this point. Free agency and daylight savings are not a match made in heaven. But the way that Schefter worded it was that there'd been negotiation. They tried to find a happy medium. They couldn't, but they haven't released him. And I was listening to Kawakami and Barrows, and Kawakami made the point that I was trying to make yesterday, I think, but he made it much better, which was, if there's any hope for the 49ers of bringing him back, then you don't release him until it's absolutely clear there's no chance he's coming back. Because you release him, now you incur all the financial ramifications of that, and then you've got to sign him back. That it just makes no sense. Barrows thought that Armstead was probably bothered, a little bothered, maybe even offended by it all. I've heard this morning, I heard something similar. Understandable. You don't need me to tell you that that's probably the dynamic there. But the reality is he does want to be there and they do want him back. He just wants to play for what he signed up to play for. And they want him to play for less than they signed him to play for. But he still has to find more better somewhere else. And I think that's going to be hard to do. Doesn't mean it won't happen. But you start looking at destinations, you go Washington, Sala, Jets, when they went Kinlaw. You just look around, you would think a place that is kind of on the refresh and the rebuild could use a guy like him. If you'd close your eyes and said year two, would D'Amico Ryans want Eric Armstead? We all would have said 12 months ago, yeah, I mean, Texans probably could use Eric Armstead. But then we watch the Texans. They're really good. They don't need like locker room leader. At least everyone needs it. They're not going to overpay for locker room leader, good dude, all that stuff, right? Now, he was really good at the end of the year when they needed him to play and he played hurt. He was really good, all things considered. But the 49ers got a problem on the defensive line right now in that they don't have really anybody on the defensive line. They don't have any tight ends at this point. Charlie Warner, 3-year deal with the Falcons. Back home, Georgia. I shouldn't sing anymore. The YouTube watchdogs are going to think that that's the real song. They've got George Kittle. Fantastic. They've got Braden Willis. Cam Latu. Okay. You know, neither one of those guys is replacing Charlie Warner at this point. Maybe Willis can. Maybe one day Latu will. As I've said before, you know, Latu's injury kind of saved him, I thought. He was not playing well at that point in camp. I guess you would never say an injury saves a guy, but it wasn't trending in the right direction for him. He was not having a good camp. So the guys that the Niners have looked at so far at tight end, they've whiffed trying to get Kittle 3. Forget about Kittle 2.0. Just, you know, knock off Kittle. They haven't gotten anywhere close. We still haven't really seen an upgrade. Not really. We haven't seen an upgrade for them at guard or tackle. So maybe these things will happen. It's Tuesday, but I think we're seeing the real possibilities that there's going to be a lot of a lot of pressure on this 49ers draft class if this is what it looks like, right? If it's Floyd, Gross Matos, Armstead back, let's just say, maybe by the time you're listening to this, he's gone, but let's just say Armstead back. You know, if those are their moves up front and there's not a splash, now Danielle Hunter's still out there, but there's not a splash at the offensive line, then you start looking at their draft and you go, this is critical, right? They've tried to get better at tight end. They haven't done it. They've tried to get reinforcements at receiver with Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray. They have not done it. They've tried at offensive line to build for the future. Haven't really done it. Now, they've done other very good things, but Drake Jackson not being ready to step up in year three is a major disappointment. You know, at this point, it's clear they are not counting on anything, and anything they get will be gravy, but they got work to do there. So in a draft where you've got 11 picks, you'd like to take as many swings as possible. But at this moment in time, you look at them and go, well, maybe that pick they have at the end of the first round, they actually need to use other picks to move up higher in the first round to get a better shot at a blue chip offensive or defensive lineman. At this moment in time, it looks like either one would fit. You know, I said on Monday, maybe they'll get a guy at one of those positions and then they'll draft at the other one. You sign a guard, you draft a D lineman, you sign a D lineman, you draft a guard. Now, I don't think they're under the impression that either one of the defensive linemen that they've signed are anything more than depth. That's what it is at this point, which is good because they lack depth on the defensive line. So depth signings are fine. I'm good with Yetur Gross-Matos and Leonard Floyd. As long as everybody, you just got to understand what these are. These are depth signings on a team that needs depth. And by the way, gets really good production from its defensive line depth most years. Most years they do a good job using their defensive line for depth and production. And here are two guys that I do think fit the mold and make you optimistic. But you still need another starter on the defensive line. If you told me right now Arik Armstead played 15 games for the 49ers in 2024 at a slightly reduced salary, I would take that. I'd go, if you give me 15 games, Arik Armstead, that's a pretty good player. I mean, it's a really good player. That's a good player. Availability and cost are the two main issues. But think about what Sam Darnold just got. Sam Darnold, and everyone kind of guessed, you know, Sam Darnold will be in the $8 to $10 million range. I don't know what the Vikings are doing. This was one of those stories all year long at everybody said it to the point that it's like, God, I guess it must be true. Everybody said all year long, even he started playing well. Beginning of the year, it was like, you know, Kirk Cousins, this is going to be his last year. And then he started playing better and better and better. And you're like, well, is it going to be his last year? Then he gets hurt and it kind of feels like, okay, it's going to be his last year. I don't understand it. $10 million. I mean, unless they're about to make some moves and draft a guy, $10 million. The Vikings beat the Niners last year. So I guess in that sense, good news. But you got Justin Jefferson. Maybe it's just, and I do understand this if you're Minnesota, the cost of keeping Kirk Cousins is so high and we're not moving things along. So we're going to have to get another quarterback. Maybe we're going to draft a guy, develop that guy. And, you know, if you told me they do that, they draft a quarterback and Sam Darnold ends up playing three games as a starter for Minnesota or five games as a starter for Minnesota, I'd believe that. You guys know, I don't want to speak out of both sides of my mouth here. I was very intrigued by Sam Darnold, enjoyed Sam Darnold, wanted to see more of Sam Darnold, but not this much more. If you're Minnesota, the Kirk Cousins era, the career, just fascinating. Always not quite good enough to really be your franchise quarterback, but definitely good enough to be your quarterback. So, good news. Good news, I guess, for Darnold. But you got to think now that then Minnesota's going to go quarterback. Neither one of those moves really affects the 49ers because they don't play the Vikings or the Falcons this year. Just did a quick little check. So that's where it stands right here on Tuesday morning, waiting for the splash. Mike Silver's been right about a lot on the Niners. He has said he thinks they're going to make a big move, but you got to actually, make the big move. No, Kirk is not a franchise quarterback, but he's going to make the Falcons better. Like, the Falcons are just immediately better because they got Kirk Cousins, and the Vikings are immediately worse. Vikings are worse. Been a lot going on the internet. I appreciate a lot of the AI contributions to free agent signings. There was a photo that went around. People are very confused by this on the internet. Christian Wilkins, NFL Notify, one of the many Twitter accounts, X accounts out there that report NFL news, sometimes original news, sometimes aggregating NFL news. Christian Wilkins signing with the Raiders. AI image of Wilkins squatting like a stripper over a Raider helmet. I don't know why, but it was funny. Saw this great tweet from Carter Donick. Me coping when a free agent I like signs with another team. Clip of Succession. Congratulations on saying the biggest number, you morons. It's always that way, right? Jay on the internet. For those of you listening, it's an image of a soldier protecting a sleeping child getting hit with grenades and knives. And it says Brock Purdy's $900,000 contract saving the Niners right now. Oh, and then some other stuff that that people sent. So that's where we're at on Tuesday. A lot of waiting, a lot of hoping, a lot of maybe something else. But I'm here to tell you that I think the maybe something else is Eric Armstead. I think that could definitely be it. Richard asks, when was the last time Eric Armstead played 15 games? Great question. It wasn't 2024. Got to have my football reference here on standby. You know, for having an injured last 2 years, Armstead did have a 4-year stretch where he didn't miss a game, basically. 18, 19, 20, 21. Played in every game. So it's happened before, but, you know, the trend is not good. He is 30, turned 30 in November. I think for his physicality and size, should still have good years left, still strong, still good against the run. I think the stuff watching some of this Yetur Gross-Matos tape, and again, we're not talking about a three-down guy, but, you know, you just see some of the size similarities. Does a good job with athleticism on the edge, creates some havoc inside. Intrigued. Invader Niner says they ain't drafting no OG in round one, not drafting a guard in round one. So do you have to move up for a tackle? Do you wait and wait and wait and hope that tackle 7 falls to you? Do quarterbacks get... does Michael Penix and Bo Nix, do those guys end up going before 31? And does that push a few tackles down? Do more receivers go than just like the three? There's three locks high. So do we end up at, you know, 4 receivers, or do we end up at 6 receivers go before pick 31? Or do you go D-line there? Because 7 tackles have been drafted, 5 quarterbacks have been drafted, 4 receivers, 5 receivers. Let's say it's a bonanza for those three positions, and you got 5 quarterbacks, 5, let's say 6 quarterbacks, 5 receivers, that's 11, 7 tackles, that's 18. You know, if 18 guys of those three positions go, and maybe the number, you know, that's probably on the high end, the conservative number on that would be 5 quarterbacks, 4 receivers, and let's still say the 7 tackles, because that's what Breer wrote, could be 7 in the top 20. And since we're talking about this from a tackle perspective, we're like, well, how do you end up drafting a defensive lineman instead of a tackle? So let's say 5 let's say five quarterbacks, four receivers, seven tackles. What is that? 11, four, 16. So let's say half of the first round of those three positions. Maybe that's how you end up with a defensive lineman. But I mean, the bottom line is when you look at the lack of depth on this team, and not just the lack of depth, they need a starter on the D-line. They probably need like one and a half starters on the D-line. They just can't miss. They got to hit. That first round pick is so critical for them this year. It's always critical. And so, we're not breaking news, but why do people compare Kirk Cousins to Brock? I don't understand this comparison. I don't know. I'm not the one making it. Robbie S. Guy, do you think the Kirk Cousins contract is what Brock Purdy and his agent will demand when it's time? $180 million, $100 million guaranteed, $90 million in years one and two, and another $10 million in 2026. So $100 million guaranteed for, they're going to want a longer-term contract. This is the kind of deal. This is a continuation of the kind of deals that Kirk Cousins does and have worked for him and would work for most quarterbacks, which is short-term big money. The Niners would happily give $100 million guaranteed, but not on what is appears to basically be, a two-year contract. So $100 million guaranteed is not in the top 10 of QB money. If Brock Purdy rolls out and has another year like the one he just had, his agent will be asking for more than $100 million guaranteed. Now, he's not a straight up free agent yet. So that would be an early extension. And they won't be able to demand necessarily like what some of these guys have gotten, but most of them aren't free agents when they get that money. So he'll want more. He'll want a longer deal. He'll want more over the course of a longer deal. If you told me right now the Niners get Brock Purdy for $100 million guaranteed, I mean, you'd do that pretty quickly. But the Niners won't want that to be a three-year contract. They'll want that to be a true 5 or 6 year contract. This is, but just looking at it, and I'm sure there's been more reporting on it, but it's a 4 year deal with $90 million in years one and two. So it's a 2 year deal. It's a good deal for him. Hugh says it would be disrespectful to lowball him. I think there is something wrong with him if he didn't demand more than Kirk Cousins. Look, let's not be naive about this, but also acknowledge he's making $1 million. Kirk Cousins has been accustomed to a certain lifestyle, although it doesn't appear that it actually affects his lifestyle. But he's been in a different position than most quarterbacks have been in. And the Niners' history is that they don't just go above and beyond to start. So disrespectful to lowball him or just par for the course to offer him a contract that feels like it's below market value for a top five quarterback if statistically he's, in that realm again this year. The beauty is for the Niners, I think the Brock was a fascinating quarterback this last year. Brock is going to be a fascinating quarterback next year just on the play. Guy Football Focus, GFF, will have to come back for that. But Brock, from a financial standpoint, as interesting as it is, if he plays like a statistically top five quarterback again, the only debate will be, does he do the deal that the Niners offer him a year before he can be tagged or become a free agent? He's got one more year after this year left on his contract. So is he willing to play it out if the Niners don't make him, a massive offer Is he willing to play out the season? What are his desires? Are his desires to remain with Kyle Shanahan, get really rich, not break the quarterback market, keep guys around him? You know, you can already see ahead to next year. You know, 12 months from now, what we'll be talking about. One of the things we'll be talking about is, do they have to pay him? Could they play it out, wait it out another year, play one more season with him being paid like $1 million and keep Kittle around for another go, or keep Debo around, or keep both of them around? You know, think about the position they're in right now with Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is slated to play on his fifth-year option. He wants an extension. They like Brandon Ayuk and want to keep him around. As of this moment, he does not have a contract extension. All of the reporting indicates it's going to be a wait. Makes sense. The 49ers are not in a rush. So is it different with quarterbacks? Yeah. Do we know how Brock Purdy plays in 2024 yet? No. But just keep that in mind as you think about it. Anytime you bring up the conversation, just watch how they're handling Ayuk. Comment. Kakoa Ace, glad to enter an offseason without guessing who the 49ers will have at quarterback. It's unusual. You know, it's like going out to training camp last year was such a major story every single day for a variety of reasons. One was Brock's coming back from the injury. Is he okay? The other was Trey Lance and Sam Darnold dueling. It, you know, I have a hard time believing that Guy Football Focus will have as much evaluating to do ever again at a training camp as it did in 2023. Now, there haven't been any layoffs at GFF, but we got to find work for everybody because, you know, it was like Purell in the pandemic. There was a lot of demand. And I just don't know how you maintain that level. You know, for those of you who are new, that was Guy Football Focus. A lot of you are new here. I graded, ready for this, every throw at training camp. Now, I didn't have like 100% attendance, but I had like 85% attendance. I got to go back and look. I think we at the GFF, we graded like, there's a lot of throws. I did a thing on it one time. It was like the specific number. It was like, I honestly don't remember. I think it was like 460 throws or something like that. Robbie says the Vikings paying Darnold $10 million and not pulling the trigger on Trey Lance is crazy. And I'm not a Lance fan. It's not crazy. I saw somebody yesterday left a comment, not on a live stream, but just on the YouTube. And I do try to jump in there as much as I can. And if you say something, if something catches my eye, I try to respond to it. And somebody left a comment like, it was a very respectful, it was basically, hey, I think I'm the only Trey Lance believer left. And the answer to that is, yeah, I guess Jerry Jones, but I'm here to tell you, Robbie, it's not crazy. It's somebody who, if there's one thing I'm an expert on, because I graded all the throws in training camp, which may sound idiotic to you. If there's one thing I'm an expert on, it's Darnold versus Lance. And I'm here to tell you, Darnold is the better player. Now, a Trey Lance person would say, Trey Lance needs to play. We've seen Sam Darnold's ceiling. Sam Darnold's going to look like the same guy this year. Trey Lance does need to play. He has not played nearly as much. I don't want to do it. We've done this. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to start it over. Eric says Darnold's got 90 turnovers and 55 starts. He's probably not even a backup level quarterback. He's definitely a backup level quarterback. Do you know what backup quarterbacks look like? I mean, he's a backup level quarterback. Comment, isn't it wild that Lance might fetch more than in a trade than Fields or Mack? Well, we know he fetched more than Mack, who went for a sixth. Justin Fields, I don't know why you would trade a fourth round pick for him. The market was heavily driven by the Cowboys when it came to Trey. I have a hard time believing anybody else was offering a fourth round pick. I seriously doubt that was the case. Or maybe even a fifth. It was wild. It was a wild thing. It felt wild. It felt surprising at the time. Even more surprising now. And I think the fact that Mac Jones got traded for his sixth And we'll see, like, what does Trey Lance get traded? What does Justin Fields get traded? If Justin Fields gets traded for a fifth or a sixth, it will tell you that nobody was influenced by Jerry Jones and that the quarterback trade market looked at what Jerry Jones did for Trey Lance and went, yeah, whatever. And everyone agreed, like, that's not the market. Right. And it's not the market. I think we all know it's not the market. Now, if Justin Fields goes for a fourth, I think the same thing holds. Justin Fields has like way more potential, has shown way more than Trey Lance has shown. I don't know that anybody would trade anything for Zach Wilson.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tom Pelissero, Matt Barrows, Dove Kleiman, all three of them. I'm smiling for those of you listening. Big smile on my face. Pelissero and Barrows first on this one. 49ers are bringing back George Odom. Let me pull this up here. Pelissero calls him special teams ace. Agreed to a two-year extension worth up to $10 million. It puts Odom at the top of the core special teams market. I love how the reporting has changed since the agents have started just going like on the record. Like, hey, man, I'm going to give you this and you can use my name, per his agent, Matt Gloss. The way Barrows wrote it, 49ers special teamer and safety George Odom agrees to two-year extension to keep him through 2026. It's worth as much as 10.8. Deal locks up the Niners' top special teamer, gives them depth at safety. Good signing. Yeah, that's good. Right now they have Hufanga and Jair Brown. Those are their safeties. Gibson and Logan Ryan, unrestricted free agents. So George Odom was good the second he's been an impactful player for the 49ers since the second they got him. He was clutch when they got him. They needed him, and he stepped in for them. They need special teams. You know, I'd like to see Chris Conley back. Could his role grow? His age would suggest not really, but he proved to be ready when needed and good on special teams. So every impression you got from watching Chris Conley was that they'd like him back. Play sharp guy. I like the guy. I like Chris Conley. Just the dude. Good dude. But, you know, we saw him in critical spots step up and make a couple really clutch plays as a receiver. Was ready when his number was called with limited reps and made some big plays on special teams. Was really good on the Super Bowl on special teams, Chris Conley. So he's not back, but Odom back. Solid. I mean, you know, there are questions at safety. Jair Brown, is he going to develop? Is he going to take another step and just prove to be 17 weeks every down, big-time safety, playing next to Talanoa Hufanga? Is he going to come back 100%? If so, good. You know, but right now you look at it, you need a starter on the defensive line still. You need a linebacker. Azeez Al-Shaair, way too expensive, as expected. Is Dre Greenlaw just going to have a miraculous comeback and you're comfortable with D Winters and Jalen Graham just in case? That seems... If you think Dre Greenlaw is going to be back and ready to roll like week three, maybe you can get away with that. But that's a leap right now. I think you need another linebacker. So you need another linebacker. You need a corner, whether it's a nickel or an outside guy. You need a defensive lineman. You need a tight end. You do need a receiver that returns. Now, maybe they're just looking at it and going, that'll be Ronnie Bell if Ray Ray's gone. Ray Ray's a free agent. And then you need another tight end. You need another tight end. I don't think you can go into the year, but maybe they will. Maybe this will be the bet. Like, no, well, you don't think we can, guy, but we have to. We got to go with Willis or Latu. You're not going. I mean, at this point, you're not going with Latu. I know there's not a lot of confidence in Ronnie Bell right now. This is what I'm talking about. They've built an excellent team. It's been proven time and time again. But it's not just about star power right now for them. Just making sure Odom hangs around for a while is critical. because they need depth at a lot of places. Dean Winters and Jalen Graham, you know, they don't feel like they're about to take that next step. Flanagan Foles would probably make you feel better. It has gotten thin quick. Lost supremacist draft Blake Goble from Eastern Washington. If you want a dog in the tight end room, won't even need to draft him. Maybe undrafted free agent. Latu isn't good. Goble is. He's also my buddy. This is what we need. We need small school roommates to start turning us on to undrafted free agents. Goble played some hoops. Look at this guy. Get up. Where's he from? He's from Banks, Oregon. 6'6", 256. Eastern Washington, as we know, everybody, has produced some good players. Kendrick Bourne, Cooper Kupp. What was the quarterback of that team? I forget that guy's name. They had a good quarterback, that group. There was a guy at... Oh, there was another receiver I liked. Oh, Idaho. What was that guy's name? Hayden Hatton. Yeah, guys. Hayden Hatton. Get me Hayden Hatton. 6'2", 205, plays bigger, contested catch guy. Can he return? No, no, not really. Player to watch. No, not Vernon Adams. Somebody different. It wasn't Vernon Adams. Vernon Adams was there, but it was a different quarterback. Yeah. Ryan McGrady, my guy. McGrady has a full-time job as a researcher. This guy right here for 24/7 Sports, and is excellent at it. And if I'd known he was out there, I would have asked him directly. Gage Gubrud. That's the name I was looking for. Gage Gubrud. That was the guy that was the quarterback at Eastern Washington for a minute and put up like Mike Leachy and numbers. Guy's very high on Penix at 31. I'm very high at Penix at 31 for somebody, but not the Niners. I mean, that said, I would not be interested in them trading back into the second round. I think trading up is on the table in the first round. Is Darnold going to start from Minnesota? Well, where are they here in the draft order? Minnesota drafts 11. Minnesota's in great position to take a quarterback. My guess is that they do. And depending on who's there, I don't know that they would move up necessarily, but I think they could get one at 11. Would they like... They don't have much is the problem, so they can't... They'd have to trade a lot to move up. They've got a first, a second. They don't have a third. They have a fourth, another fourth, a two-fifth, a sixth, and two-sixth. So, yeah, I think Minnesota's taking a quarterback. It'll help them pay Justin Jefferson. Darnold hangs around. Darnold's been through it. Experience of having a guy who was drafted first, high in the first round, I think would be valuable. And, you know, maybe it's a redshirt year or maybe it's six games. You don't really redshirt these guys anymore, but that's my guess. And I think that's fine. That's good. Forktail Devil says Niners keep over investing in D-line. It's insanity. They need to finally invest in O-line. I don't think they're over invested. They need defensive linemen. They don't have any. Let's just say they ran it back with this offensive line they have. You and I wouldn't love it, but they got to the Super Bowl with that offensive line. Again, I don't love it. I wouldn't do it again, but this D-line, there aren't players. They're down Kinlaw, Furl, Gregory, Givens, Joseph Day, young free agents. They've added two. Let's just say none of those guys come back. They're down six. They're net minus four. They're not overinvested. They're underinvested. Now, you would argue, and I know what you're saying. I'm talking about the money. They paid Javon Hargrave. They paid Nick Bosa. They got all this money in Eric Armstead. But Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos aren't making that much relative to Darnold. Just got $10 million. That's what both these guys are making. So I think they're at a fine number. By the way, on the YouTube stream, over 1,000 of you right now here on YouTube, hit that like button. Appreciate that very much. Subscribe to the channel. Appreciate that very much. And hit that little dingy button, which a lot of you have. Whatever. I don't know if you want alerts all the time. Here's a good question from Marcon. What's the over-under on Eric Armstead coming back? You know what? I hadn't thought about it like this. I like percentages, so let's do this. I'm going to say it's first instinct was 70-30, he returns. Maybe that feels a little high. Maybe 65-35. I'll go 65-35. That's not really an over-under, but I guess you could say over-under 65% chance that he returns. I'll go with that. Give me some of your percentages. But that's, you start looking at it, you're like, feels like they're still talking, that they're in constant contact, that he knows, his agent knows what the Niners number is. Let's just make up a number, $12 million. You're not asking them to take, I would say it's probably safe to guess that the 49ers aren't asking Arik Armstead to take less money this year than Leonard Floyd or Yetur Gross-Matos. Probably you can't do that. So let's say it's $12 million this year, $13 million. Let's say $13 million this year. And he doesn't want to do it. So he's out there looking for a two-year, $32 million contract. He's not finding it. And he's like, well, I don't want to go somewhere else for $12 million. I want to be here. I like it here. They want me around. They do. It's not, I mean, you're probably, if you're Armstead, pissed that they want you to restructure, but it's still like, you're like, well, still 13 million bucks to not move. That sounds like a good deal. He's set up with all his charity work in Sacramento. They let him use the team studio for his post game podcast. Got to react. It's all about reaction, instant reactions. And, you know, he could play his whole career with the same team. So my guess is his agent knows what their number is. He wants to get something at their number and then go back to them and go, look, guys, you want him back. You have a gaping hole at defensive line. Let's get Arik healthy. Somebody just offered him 12 and a half. Can you make it like 13? And let's get this thing done. Niners are like, well, you know, we could draft a defensive tackle. Yes, pay cut. Thank you. Get a pay cut. We could draft a defensive tackle. And then somebody goes, yeah, we could do that. But we're also trying to win a Super Bowl this year, and we could use an offensive lineman. A 49ers Lakers fan says, a guy's a real piece of shit when it comes to Trey. I don't even want to say anything. That's a great comment. It's wrong, but it's a great, it's just a solid. This is, to me, this is almost a perfect comment. Respectful and disrespectful. Respectful and disrespectful at the same time. That's almost a, that might be a perfect comment. And you do one of my favorite things, which is bring Trey Lance out of nowhere, which is one of our old favorite topics. So, you know, unfazed. It doesn't bother me at all. I get it. Wrong. Disagree. But, you know, I here's what I appreciate about that comment. Is it's not like, I'm never watching again. You've lost my business. I'm out of here. It's more like, bro, stop being a dick. And I go, well, no, I'm not. Karen asked, who do you think will replace Sam? Any ideas? Yes. Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen is replacing Sam Darnold. Most years, you don't get a backup quarterback like Sam Darnold. Most years, you don't get a former top five pick that you probably, there's a good chance that you would have drafted with a power arm, relatively cheap, but still expensive enough that you probably don't sign him if your starting quarterback is making starting quarterback, like true starting quarterback money. So the situation the Niners had last year with Sam Darnold was a unique one. It's not a normal one. It's not most situations. Generally, guys like Sam Darnold end up in situations like the one he's in now, where somebody pays him $10 million. They tell him, you're going to be our starter. They're probably drafting a quarterback. And then it's on him to try and stave that guy off and remain the starter and get a year, right? To prove to somebody else that he's the dude. Or maybe the rookie they draft busts. Darnold's just so much better. He gets an extension, something like that. That's normally the situation those guys are in. They're not in the Niners situation with Darnold last year was rare. And I don't think you can expect to, even when Brock is on his rookie deal still, find guys as physically talented as Darnold to be your number two quarterback. Additionally, Brandon Allen is more experienced often than the guy that is your third quarterback. Like this year will be a little more normal where, you know, you'll have your maybe one day he'll be Ben DiNucci type third string quarterback. Get an undrafted free agent to be your number three guy. Brandon Allen knows the offense far better than most guys you'd bring in here, right? You'd have to get Jake Browning or somebody from the Rams or somebody from the Dolphins to be your number two quarterback if you're going to try and get a guy that knows the offense as well as Brandon Allen. So, Brandon Allen's going to be there. I would expect Brandon Allen to be their backup quarterback. Makes a ton of sense. They brought him back for year two. And they're good. That's it. I think they're done there until they bring in number three guy. But Allen's played a little. You know, the names that people bring up as other guys, people love bringing up other names of guys that like play a lot. And they're just too expensive. Look at what Sam Darnold just got. So they're in a good spot. In a good spot at quarterback. That's all done. That's settled. I'm a Brandon Allen. I'm not going to lie. I like Brandon Allen. Philly now has Saquon. Niners better get good defensive tackle to stop the run. Saquon's legit. Love Saquon. Losing Jason Kelce is going to hurt them more than adding Saquon Barkley feels good, helps. But it's tough. Tackling him and Jalen Hurts, that'll wear you out. So, okay. But, hey, guys, let's see Sirianni do it again. Let's see Sirianni running it back. Strawberry Reacts says, I don't know, guy. Do you think Brock is going to regress this year? Couch coaches say it, so it must be true. I'm not dismissive of people that go, let's see Brock do it again. I think that's a totally fair, legit thing to say. Careers are not made in 1 year. Careers are not made in 2 years. The league is littered with guys who look like maybe they'd become franchise quarterbacks and didn't. Now, you know, I'm pro Brock here to a degree, the right amount. I'm Goldilocks when it comes to Purdy. I think sometimes we can go a little too far. We did over the course of the year go a little too far. And I thought in both directions, sometimes things got a little too bizarre on Brock, like both ways. You know, everyone says they're if everyone was a centrist, we'd have no extremists. If everyone that said they were a centrist actually was. But on this, I think the track record shows that I have been. And yeah, they said it last year. And, you know, I think sometimes it's a result of the evaluation. Some people just watch him play and go, no, this can't, you know, look at his arm, look at his size. This can't be. It's a lot of balls batted down. Look at all the talent around him, blah, blah, blah. Right. We've all heard it. But at the same time, you have to just go through it to prove it. Everybody, it's a projection until they've done it. So I guess we could debate, is this it? Can we rubber stamp Brock? Has he done it? It's over. We know exactly. No, he just nothing he can do other than keep doing it. I've said a few times this year that Brock's one of his superpowers is an invisible one, right? One of his great strengths is an invisible one, which is consistency. And if consistency is going to be one of your great strengths, then you have to do it for a long time, you know, or an extended time. So he's on a great track. Nothing changes. He's the guy. He's getting another chance to prove it, you know, in good shape. Things are going well. Everything's trending in the right direction. comment on Brock. Have to look at it, the lens. Is he worth $50 million a year the next 2 years? Then make the decision. No rush. Yeah, that will change things, right? I mean, that's part of the evaluation. That's a good point. That's part of the evaluation right now with Purdy is like, okay, he's good now when he's $1 million. Is he $50 million good? Is he $40 million good? Okay, you think he's $38 million good. Is he willing to take $38 million? How many quarterbacks are really worth quarterback money? So that's why this year people, you know, I remember this conversation before the Super Bowl, like, if Brock wins the Super Bowl, that'll shut everybody up. Like, no, it wouldn't have. No, it wouldn't have. The Brock evangelicals would have been even more evangelical. The Brock haters would have continued to say it wasn't him. He didn't do it. So he didn't win the Super Bowl. He lost the Super Bowl, but it doesn't actually change the conversation. It's going to pick up right where it left off last year. Nothing changes. And the contract's going to be a big reason why, because that's going to be the debate now. Like, all right, you love Brock. Do you love him for 50? Do you love him for that much? Or do you love Brock, but you want him on a team friendly? You want him to take a little less, which I think is right now still a reasonable thing. They're like, you know, 50 mil. Wow. But then you think about the cost of replacement too, right? And like how hard it is to find somebody who can be as productive as him. So maybe he'll get better, right? Here we go into year three. First chance to have a regular offseason as a starting quarterback. Can he get better? Does his arm get stronger? He thinks it will. I've talked to guys who have had elbow injuries. Now, not many have had this repair, but who think that his arm is going to get stronger. The most invisible superpower is consistency. And then somebody said, no, the most invisible superpower is invisibility. I was in an elevator with it was like an 8-year-old boy and his mom. And the boy was not arguing with his mom, but going back and forth, telling her like, you know, invisible. He was debating between invisibility and being able to what's it called when you just like transport yourself? You know, like immediately you just pop another place. And he was going back and forth and he's like, you know, mom, I think invisibility is the one you want. And I want to tell this 8-year-old, no, dude, the one you want is the transport one where you can just snap your fingers and end up somewhere else. At your age right now at 8, you get driven everywhere. You're not on a schedule. If you're late, you're 8, doesn't matter. Teleportation. Yeah. Teleportation, I think, definitely the number one superpower. Because think about, what are you doing with invisibility? Like, shit you shouldn't be doing to begin with, right? It's cool. Don't get me wrong. Invisibility is awesome. But it's like, you know, I think they're talking shit about me in that other office. I'm going to go see if they're talking shit. It's like, well, what good is that? Let them do whatever. Or you're committing crimes, probably, with invisibility. Teleportation is just all positivity on your lifestyle. You're never on planes. Your vacations are longer. You're getting 2 extra days on every vacation because you're just teleporting. You don't even have to pack, really, when you think about it. If you traveled and you teleport, you go to Italy. You teleport there in the morning in what you wore. You could even sleep at home and not ever get a hotel room. I mean, teleportation, it's as good as it gets. Where would I teleport? Somebody just asked. Everywhere. I will have been everywhere. This show right now would be live from wherever, or it would be right here in my home. And I'd be having, lunch in Tuscany in 8 seconds. Basically, I pay for teleportation right now when I pay $12 to use the express line. Because it's just like, I am not sitting in this traffic. It's just a decision I made. It sucks, but invisibility as a football player would be dope. But then again, so would teleportation. All right, that's enough of that. OBJ, did he sign? Mr. J asks, just OBJ, ? I don't really see a purpose for the 49ers, even though I kind of like OBJ, just like his whole thing. But not particularly interested. Odell's dating Kim, apparently. PDA after the Oscars. TMZ reports. Yeah, I don't see Odell Beckham as a 49er. Not a great fit, but also just not consistently healthy. They need cheap depth at receiver. Did you talk about your boy Benny being back? Third and Benny, Juwan Jennings. Haven't really talked about it just because it's expected. Rap says, I see Niners, quote, urgent needs on the thumbnail. And the first thing I hear after clicking the video is teleportation. You know, this brings up actually a good point before I go on, because I get this from time to time. People are like, don't. Hey, guy, somebody said this to me the other day. Like, guy, looking forward to what you do with your channel. Please no clickbait. Well, yeah. Okay. I think this is obvious, but the thing about the single most one of the there's a few very important things on YouTube, but one of the most important things on YouTube is getting people to click on the thumbnail, right? One of the other most important things on YouTube is getting people to watch the video. So you don't get rewarded for clickbait. In other words, getting you to click is half the battle. Getting you to stay is the other part of the battle. And so it doesn't do me any good to mislead you. I don't want to mislead you. I don't want to say this is what it's about and it's about this and trick you. But I also do need you in a sea of the YouTube thumbnails to notice it, right? It's not so much, it's not about tricking you. It's about getting you to notice it. And so that's the fine line. So understand, like, when that thumbnail goes up, the job of the thumbnail is to get you to notice it and to make you intrigued. But you also got to pay it off, right? So that's the battle. So I never want to trick you, because it's shitty. Then you stop trusting the thumbnail and then you stop watching the videos. But also it just actually doesn't benefit me to say, like, LeBron's on the show and then LeBron's not there. You're like, well, oh, congrats. I could get a bunch of people to click once with that. But anyway, I know that's not what you're saying, but that's just a little, I think it's probably self-explanatory to most people, but that's part of it. Now, then you watch the video. If you like the video, that helps. If you comment on the video, that helps. That's engagement. That's why you'll see people try to spur engagement in the comments of the video, not necessarily the live stream, but in the video itself. Tell me below, do you like this new Rivian, right? Like that type of thing. Like, would you buy this new Rivian? Tell me below. Like, yeah, dude, I'd buy the Rivian. So that's engagement. And that's also part of the algorithm. And everyone's always trying to figure out the algorithm. Anyway, that's just a little inside baseball.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Just Mike says, guy, I feel like no one's talking about the fact that Braden Willis is really an H-back and the likeliest candidate to replace Juice. This is my daily. I know. I get it. People, everyone thinks I'm pro Juice. I'm biased when it comes to Juszczyk. I am pro Juice. But I still always say this, like, replacing Kyle Juszczyk is much easier in theory than in practice. And I like Braden Willis. Like, I talked to him at the Super Bowl. Seemed cool. Was cool. Right now, unfortunately for him, his kind of biggest moment was a hold in the Super Bowl. There are no signs that Braden Willis is about to be ready to replace Kyle Juszczyk. Spencer says, here's some deep intel. Ask viewers to screenshot the video. Swear to God, LOL. All right, everybody, on the count of three, screenshot the video and let's see if this thing goes to the moon. One, two, three. Did it work? Are we on the moon yet? All right, I'm willing to try. Somebody else had a comment here. Drew Locke to the Giants. Jeez. Well, the rap sheet says Drew Locke to the Giants. God bless the Giants. Thank you for what they do for us as sports fans. Like, if you're going to be forced down our throats four times a year in primetime, at least be interesting, like kind of messy. And the Jets and the Giants understand the assignment. Like, they got it. Like, oh, you want us to piss everybody off that are our fans, but actually not be a threat to any of these other teams? Hell yeah. Got it. We're in. So good job by the Giants. Good job by the Jets. Not a threat, but if you're going to be on TV, at least have easy to follow storylines. You know, there are so many people that are not, there's plenty of Giants fans. So many people that are not Giants fans that are like, oh yeah, this Daniel Jones story, this is great. Is this the dude? No, he's not the dude. Let's watch this. They're all mad. Everybody's got to take. It's amazing. Jets, everybody's got to take. Watching the Drew Locke Pro Day coverage right now. Is that today? Is that live? I don't think it's live. These look like, well, maybe this is live. That was a wobbler. I think, you know, if you're looking at it from a Niners perspective, you just want as many quarterbacks to look good as possible, push guys down. I would still expect it. He's got a good vibe. He's laughing. Bonix had a good little run. Screenshot effects are residual. Boosts future personalized recommendation amongst viewers. Great. So hopefully everybody screenshotted. Thomas says there's going to be no big splashes for the Niners. Got to penny pinch for that $60 million per year Purdy quarterback next year contract. I don't think they're thinking about Purdy's contract much at all right now. Just glad that Patrick Queen didn't go to the Seahawks. They were all bragging that they were going to get Queen. Were they? Seahawks fans? Rap sheet. Moments ago. Hold on. Is this real rap sheet? This is real rap sheet. The Steelers are locking in a huge piece in the middle of their defense. They've agreed to terms with Patrick Queen, as Marcus Spears has reported. Spears getting in on the act. 3-year, $41 million. Go to Baltimore. That's great. That's awesome. To go to Pittsburgh. Leaving Baltimore. Great news, right? If you're a Super Bowl contender, as the Niners are, getting a Super Bowl contender to lose one of their star players is great news. So that's awesome. Akash Anavarathan, who I saw at the Super Bowl for a little bit, and enjoyed talking to Akash. What's up, man? Akash, it's 11:13 a.m. Pacific, so Akash is plotting right now what his Marina DoorDash order is going to be. Joining us from somewhere in the man-made beauty of San Francisco's Marina District. He said, lots of two-year deals being handed out. Sure feels like 2025 is the reset year for the 49ers. In the debate of what do you do with, you know, would you move Debo if you could, which was not a realistic conversation for this year. One thing I mentioned early on was go look at post June 1, 2025. That's where it happens. With Kittle, that might be where it happens. If Armstead's back, you know, before it, Trent Williams, does he have two more years in him? Ayuk's contract, I think, is most likely to happen next year, not this year. Those are the odds I put on it. A potential Purdy deal. So many factors. So, you know, the other one is, yeah, I mean, Hufanga is an unrestricted free agent after this year. Not one we talk about a lot, but another sign of 2025. So I agree. I've said I don't think this is the Last Dance year, in the sense that as long as you have a quarterback, your window's open. But, you know, in some ways, just based on the roster. Now, I think there's still going to be talent on this roster in 2025. But it's another example of why this contract is so, this draft, what did I say, contract? Why this draft is so critical for them. Walking down the Lucas on Chestnut right after this. All right. I know what you're ordering. You gotta, you know, it's actually, I don't order it. I wish the Pat Burrell at Luca Deli on Chestnut. It's just not my preferred sandwich. I just build my own there usually, but get there early. You better not wait till noon to get there. Luca Deli. That is the spot. Aaron says, Guy, as a fellow hair guy, I highly recommend a product, Hans DeFuco Claymation. Great hold, easy and versatile styling. Go Niners. You know, if Hans DeFuco wanted to sponsor the show, I'd be for it. I've used Hans DeFuco before. I like their branding. Good product. Yeah, good product. It's not what I use, but it's a good product. I've used every, I don't think I've used every product, so I'm up for recommendations. But good product. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Off hamster wheel. Do you think this draft is critical as team needs to get a lot of young talent so they can pay Brock and release older vets? Plus, Trent may retire by 25. Yeah, I mean, it's critical. It's a little, I think it's a little silly, but like, now this is the draft that matters, because they all matter. They're all critical. Every single draft is critical. Every single one. And everyone you miss on makes the next one. Every pick that doesn't become a starter, every pick that doesn't become a depth piece, everyone makes the next one more critical. And the fact is that you're gonna miss and you're gonna hit. And the years where you have more hits than misses are the outlier years. Right now, Jair Brown. Okay, promising. I would have liked a little more, but promising. Jake Moody, he's your kicker. All right, a little scary at times, but he's your kicker. Cameron Latu, not promising. Darrell Luter, people tell me it's promising. Robert Beal, not promising. Okay, people are like, well, what do you know? He hasn't played. He's to me, like, your rookie year, immediately we go, oh, that might be a starter, or we don't. And if we don't, then we didn't. And you can't say promising. D Winters. I know people are like, oh, promising. No, maybe. Haven't seen it yet. Braden Willis. I'd say no. Ronnie Bell. Initially, maybe. You know, I mean, if the best argument for why you're a promising prospect is that you haven't played much, or that, nah, his body, like, you're on the roster now. Production needs to be the reason you're promising. So maybe in a year we look back like, oh, Beal, Winters, and Luter. Those guys all stepped up. But it's all a projection at this point. It's not based on anything that's actually happened. Year before, Drake Jackson. Waiting. Ty Davis Price. Nope. Danny Gray. Nope. Spencer Burford. Yeah, I mean, meaningful snaps from a fifth-round guard, fine. Samuel Womack, nope. Nick Zakelj, still around. Kalia Davis, Tariq Castro-Fields, Brock Purdy. When you do the Brock Purdy thing, Kalia Davis, maybe. People would say, like, yeah, possibly. Barely played. Year before, Lance, no. Banks, yes. Sermon, no. Thomas, solid. I mean, they got Thomas and Lenore in the same draft. One of them's a starter. One of them's rotational. Fine. Good. Elijah Mitchell, the sixth. Good. Talanoa Hufanga, the fifth. Good. You know, what's funny about the 21 draft, it was a pretty solid draft outside of one of the worst trades in draft history, which was the Trey Lance trade and draft. Funny how that works. Like 22, not a great draft for the Niners, but they got Brock Purdy. So great draft. you can't make 21 a great draft because it was the Trey Lance draft, yet they have one starter, two starter, three starter. They had three starters in that draft, plus like starter level player in Elijah Mitchell, sometimes starter in Ambry. You know, Banks, Lenore, Hufanga, three starters out of that draft. Jalen Moore, rotate. Ambry Thomas, starter sometimes. Elijah Mitchell, starter level. I mean, that's an incredible draft outside of the worst pick ever. Worst trade pick ever. You know, 20 turned out to be a good draft, except their first pick was a bust, right? Kinlaw, but then it's Ayuk, Mikhivich, Warner, Jennings. Mikhivich in the fifth, Warner in the sixth, Jennings in the seventh. Bang, bang, bang. That's great. So, you know, at this point, the 23 draft is not trending to be as good as some of those drafts. As 21, 22 and 23 were just not as productive as 21 and 20 or 19. But they got Purdy in 22. So these drafts are like hard to categorize. You know, it's hard to be like, well, that one was, it was a bad draft in 22. Well, you got your starting quarterback at the last pick. Okay. It's not all right. And, you know, maybe we'll look back and one of these guys, Luter, Beal, Winners, like if two of those three kind of hit, actually, if you go Luter, Beal, Winners, Jalen Graham in the seventh, Ronnie Bell in the seventh, Braden Willis in the seventh, if two of those guys become starters, it's solid. Plus Jair Brown and Jake Moody. That's excellent. Early, a little early to say there, but not trending. There's a few of these comments I want to get back to. I saw one here. Adam Stanko, old friend, media mogul now. This guy right here, people, this guy runs shit. He said, I'd pay to hear Habes list off anything in life that could be put in the promising, unpromising category. I don't know what would be the other. I don't know what else would get. Yeah, give me another category. Lynch and Shanny's relative draft prowess much higher in late rounds than early rounds. Which is good, but not ideal when you need starters. Even D'Amico Ryan said that the Super Bowl was lost as soon as Greenlaw went down. Did D'Amico say that? When did D'Amico say that? I did not see that quote. The guy didn't just go down. He popped his Achilles running into the game. Do you remember how still the most insane thing that happened in that Super Bowl? And a bunch of crazy shit happened in that Super Bowl. Niners have back-to-back years in their last game of the year where a star defender went down on the sideline. Now, Bosa came back against Philly, but it happened to Bosa, too, the year before. I've heard Greenlaw's ahead of schedule. I know. His doctor gave him a great review, said things went fantastic. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, clear to return to me is different than back and rolling and like looking like yourself, right? I mean, back and rolling is different than cleared to return. So this is a guy who's explosive, who is sideline to sideline, get in the backfield, punisher, game wrecker. You know, so you tell me, oh, Greenlaw's going to be ready. Greenlaw will be back September. Okay, but is he Dre Greenlaw? Is he that level of player? Now, you still might take 80% of Dre Greenlaw. Maybe you would take that. I don't know. Depends what the options are. I don't think you can bank on it. I think you got to find another linebacker. You got to get somebody else. You could use the depth anyway. Greenlaw gets hurt at times during the year anyway. So here's the D'Amico Ryans quote. NBC Sports Barrier on Tuesday at the NFL Combine. So this would have been the Mayo Corps, Jennifer Lee Chan. I talked to him before the game. He was in the right mode. You hate to say this, but if They had Dre. I feel like the game is different. They have him because of the impact plays he makes. I mean, that's a good quote from D'Amico. It makes sense. Like, I don't think anybody would. Great player. A few more here that I saw from you guys that I want to get to. Joe Boyd says, I'm frustrated with all the missed picks. They should not have drafted Moody third, Latu non-factor, a third round on Moody. I was pro the Moody pick. I didn't care about you just needed a kicker. Chilmatic, what coffee is your jam? You know, I like Pete's and I like Phil's. I like Phil's for coffee. I've been drinking a lot of chai lattes the last year. Dirty chai is when you get the chai latte. They add the espresso to it. But I got off coffee for a while because I had this I got this little bump on my vocal cords, which I'm getting surgery for in a couple of weeks. Should be very minimal. But they always they go through all these things. Like it could be, you know, like silent acid reflux, which is not the case. So like get out coffee for a little bit. I think it was the result of an injury. Hooping. No. A talking injury. So I got off coffee for a little bit, but I love it. I went to Phil's the other day. They do a good chai too. Medium on the sweet. I noticed a difference when I put the Phil's. When I put Phil's in the coffee maker, it's just so much better than a lot of stuff I get. But the other thing about, I don't really have a good palate when it comes to coffee. Like my wife will be like, how's the coffee? If she doesn't ask me while I'm drinking it, I won't have an answer for her. Cause it's already, if it's like after the fact, she's like, was that good coffee? I only know if it's terrible. Otherwise I can't tell. So I'm a bad, I don't have an advanced coffee palate. Yeah, Celsius, I'm on it. You know, I want to try C4. I haven't tried that. And yerba mates. I like, you know, if you can find the low sugar stuff, the yerba mates. The Niners have been bad drafting in the fourth round. Well, they didn't draft in the fourth round last year. The year before, they got Burford in the fourth round. The year before, they did not draft in the fourth round. The year before that, they did not draft in the fourth round. The year before that, they drafted Mitch Wishnowsky in the fourth round. Kentavious Street in the fourth round prior. That was the McGlinchey draft. Joe Williams in the fourth round in 17. So Joe Williams, miss. Kentavious Street as a fourth rounder. I mean, still in the league. Fine, I would say. Fourth rounder Spencer Burford. I think it's a good pick. I mean, he plays most of their right guard snaps, whether you like him or not. Fourth round for that, solid. And Wishnowsky. So 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. What is that? 5 years. In the last 5 years, they've only had 2 fourth-round picks, and both of them are starters on this team. Latu was a whiff, but he was a compensatory third. He wasn't a fourth. Carter Allen says, hey, Carter. Lawyer? Almost a lawyer? Did you get your... Wishnowsky, Santa Barbara City College alum. People forget. Yeah, people... People forget or don't know. Santa Barbara City College. Nice campus would be my guess. Latu hasn't played it down and he's a whiff. Well, you could start with he hasn't played it down. It's not over for him, but as I said before he got hurt, it wasn't going well in camp. Where it matters right now is how much can you rely on this guy? Or do you need to make other plans? And right now at tight end, I think they got to make other plans. At offensive line, you'd like for them to make other plans, but they truly don't have another tight end who's done anything right now on their roster. Maybe Dwelly comes back. They don't have anybody. Warner's gone. They don't have anybody. So they got to sign somebody or draft somebody. They signed Leonard Floyd. They were hoping that by 2024, they wouldn't have to sign Leonard Floyd and Drake Jackson would be plugging in there. It'd be irresponsible to not sign Leonard Floyd or somebody of that ilk and just go, nah, we think Drake's got it. And they're not doing it. You can't do it. There's no problem with Latu. It's whatever. It's fine. He's got time. But it's, I'm just telling you where it's trending and where it's not. And that I think it'd be irresponsible of the 49ers to not bring in another tight end here. That's the point. It's not about how much you believe or I believe or don't believe what's going to come next for Latu. It's just, or Latu, I think, or Willis. But you just evaluate, like, all right, guys, we're here in the war room. Are we rolling with Latu and Willis behind Kittle? The answer to that better be no. Somebody asked a question here that, let me, where was this? Somebody asked, are we, where did this go? Somebody asked if I think they're moving up in the first round or not. I think yes. GFF really got to focus on the O-line battles this training camp. Might have to subcontract for that. I've tried that. You know, I respect the trenches, but wouldn't say that's where GFF likes to do its work. Here's a good question. What'll open up the Kittle in the passing game more? Another tight end or better O-line? I mean, to me, ideally, better O-line. Anything new? Chase Young expected to visit the Panthers and Saints this week, per source. Handful of teams have expressed interest in Chase Young, 2020 Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's only still 24 years old. You know, his salary, like right now, we're in the midst of it. We don't know exactly what Chase Young is going to end up making. He'll be 25 in April, so let's cool it on the still only 24. But still, only 25 is legit. Let's see what he gets paid. Let's see what he gets paid relative to why GM, not really good, Yetur Gross-Matos. I got a deep dive, the Yetur Gross-Matos. I watched the tape. I got a deep dive of the background. More stuff to do this week. I'm going to Las Vegas on Thursday. The plan right now is to still do stuff, hopefully do something Friday morning from Vegas, do something Thursday before I go. If something happens Thursday, we'll pop on Pac-12 basketball tournament, the final one. I'll be there. Got into Bavette's Steakhouse on Friday night for the first time. Haven't done that spot yet. So excited about that. And if something happens between now and tomorrow, I'll be back here. But otherwise, be back Wednesday morning. Keep this train rolling. You guys are just hanging. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll get you the Bronny James scouting report. Don't expect him to be drafted, but I think he's a solid. I think if his name was Bronny Haberman and no one was paying attention, I think you'd look at him going, oh, this, maybe, you know, solid. Let's watch things play out for a couple of years. But obviously, he lives in a different bubble than that. Question, is Flour and Water the best pizza in the city? So my buddy Nick has been telling me we got to go to Flour and Water in North Beach. I went for the first time the other day. Their white sauce black pepper pizza was fantastic. It was very good. Their red sauce burrata pizza, solid. I thought their crust was excellent. My favorite pizza remains the New Yorker from Tony's in North Beach. Hard to beat. I love a big New York flop. And I think that slice of pizza has got it all. And so that's my go-to. But Flour and Water was very good. And I'm looking for more recommendations. Pink onion. You know, I love my pink onion pizza. I wonder if the ham pod pie is going to live on at Pink Onion. I have to check with Matt on that. But it's a good pie. It should. Hopefully it does. Legacy pie. Guys, a lot of great pizza. I'm not going to start listing pizza off here, but pizza, I've got a list of places I got to get to still. Good places in the East Bay. Good place. Just a lot of good pizza's not. Barbecue is the one. I got to talk to my guy, Larry Kruger, about that. Barbecue is the one that I tried a place the other day and it was okay. Anyway. All right. Got a roll. Cheese board. Yeah, cheese board's good. Cheese board's good. I've done that one, and I like it. Rose Pizzeria in Berkeley. Good. What was the place I just tried? Somewhere in the kind of like up north in the kind of coast area. I don't remember the name. Little Star for Chicago style. Yeah. All right. That's it for this. We'll be back soon. Big haircut scheduled for Wednesday at 1 Pacific. So if there's breaking news, might have to do that from the chair. But we'll be around. We're here. Okay, everybody. Thanks for hanging. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.